On Asar B'Teves, there's a Yom Tainis that was Nikva because of the beginning of the siege on Yerushalayim of Nebuchadnezzar. And for me personally, this was a different type of Asar B'Teves. I think this is the first time that I ever felt Churban Beis HaMikdash, what it is, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What it is to have something ruchnius and lose something ruchniistic, and that's a tragedy. I don't think I've ever experienced something like that. This Asar B'Teves, after Rabbeinu Tam Shabbos, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, my Rebbe, left this world, and for me, this man has been a dzmus, an image since I'm 18, from the time that I got excited about Ruchnius. He was somebody that I was trying to figure out how to understand. I remember as a bacher, sitting with my computer to try to look up Zayers to figure out what the man is talking about and see how I can have a connection with this person, going to the Inbal for Sukkot, and then running to see if I could hear a shir of Rav Moshe Shapiro. I would say that his very being, his very existence, is tied to my whole to my whole ruchnius. But that's a personal issue. But the truth is that he's tied to all of our ruchnius, dafka on Wednesday nights. I can't say all the time in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, where the Rosh Yeshiva, Zilzayin Gezunt, is shayach to Gedele Eilam. I'm shayach to other Gedele Eilam too. But the Wednesday night, whoever has enjoyed what we've been giving over here is a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Most of the energy that I spend on the Shmuzin in this yeshiva is to try to bring down things that I heard from my Rebbe that were so high up there and try to figure out how to bring them down to our generation. I myself, in high school, was a very regular person, and now being shayach to such big people like Rav Moshe Shapiro, it's almost like I try to take what I receive from him and bring it down to where I was in high school and find the message that's there. Rav Moshe Shapiro is not somebody that we could be maspid, we're not going to attempt, we're just merely as a family reflecting on who he was. He was somebody that Rav David Cohen Shlita at the Shabbos Achdus told me, at Chal Shudis, he said in his lifetime he never saw a mind, somebody as great in brilliance as Rav Moshe Shapiro. He himself had a personal vod with Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro was somebody, and as a young man, the yeshiva was learning Nashim Nezikin. Him and Rav Tzvi Kushalevsky were learning Kodshim, and Rav Chatzkel Sarna got upset at them and said, they said, well, we're doing this because we're speaking and learning with the Brisker Rav. And Rav Chatzkel Sarna said, if you're speaking and learning with the Brisker Rav, you can do whatever you want in this yeshiva. And it's all of our tzara. It's all of our tzara. Anything that's valuable here comes from him. There's an amazing Tosis Yontif. The Tosis Yontif in Baba Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud Aleph, says there's a concept called a Rav Muvhak. A Rebbe Muvhak. So he asks, what's the word Muvhak? What does the word mean? He brings a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis. The pasuk says, Menoiga Negdo, that there was a brilliant light against him. And the Targum translates the radiance of light, Mavhikin. That Muvhak means to shine. And the Tosis Yontif says that the word Muvhak doesn't mean that the Rebbe shines. The word muvhak is poyel in the way that it says a Rebbe muvhak is someone who makes his Talmud shine. He makes him radiate. He's a Rebbe who's mavhik. He makes someone else shine. And any type of shine in koiches hanefesh, in helping, in etzes, in understanding the yetzer hara, on the high levels, of what's going on in the sharshe hadvarim, in very, very high places, which is the places where you can get the most clarity. It was a mekabel from Rav Moshe Shapiro. It was a dream of mine to get into a particular vad that was closed on Gra Mishlei, where there was where Rav Moshe would explain all the deep elements of the human psyche and the Yetzer Hara. And it was something that was a dream of mine. I had no idea how to get in. I had first gotten in to the shir on Sunday. And then a friend helped me who was very close to the Rav Moshe, and then I wanted to get into the Mishlei shir, and I remember going in front of him at the Kaisel, and I needed some creative way to how to get in. So I didn't ask him to get into the shir. I said, I want to transfer. I want to transfer from the Sunday shir to the Mishlei shir. I thought that would sound better. And for some reason, Hashem had rachamim on me and on you. And he said, are you mesugal lezeh? Is this something that you can handle? When someone asks you that, you go, absolutely. Never been more mesugal for something. And he said, are you going to come every time? I said, I'm going to come every time, b'siyata d'shmaya. And this really paved a way for me to see the world in a whole different way, to see everything differently. And in course, give over to you. I would say over 70% of the time in the Shmuz, when I say Kibalti Me Rabosai, I'm talking about Rav Moshe Shapiro, and maybe 80% of the time, if you add another 10%, I'm very close with one of his Talmud Mufak. So then it's 80% of the time Rav Moshe Shapiro. So I would like to just reflect a little bit. I cannot give a hesped. It would be overwhelming. A hesped in my mind is giving you a picture of who this man was. I don't know who he was. I just was zocha to peer from afar. But to just reflect and understand what was special to me, that's also something. It's not a lot, but at least it's something. There was a certain majesty to Rav Moshe Shapiro. He had a certain malchus, like he was a king or a prince, and he raised everyone around him to this level of being like a king. There was a rare opportunity that Rav Moshe Shapiro spoke in the town of Slobodka, in the actual town of Slobodka, and he said that he grew up on the knees, on the laps of the Talmidim of the Slobodka Yeshiva. And he said, over there, the Shita was covered a Adam. Covered a Torah, covered a Adam, everything was Beromimus. There was a majesty to a Ben Torah. The altar of Slobodka would be very careful with what the Talmidim would wear. They wore the nicest clothes. They walked around with canes. They were on the top of the world. And Rav Moshe Shapiro held of this shita in chinuch. He said that this is the shita to take in chinuch. He once told me, he said that the definition of kavod, of this idea of majesty, of respect, is where you see something or someone and you know there's so much more than meets the eye. You see a person and you see he looks like a person, but you see he's so much higher, he's so much greater. He would always quote the Baal Ma'or that says in the Hakdama, HaNeshama Nikris Kavod. The Neshama is called honor, dignity. Shenemar Laman Yizamercha Kavod V'lo Yidom. The Neshama's name was Kavod. And I asked him, once at the Kaisel, I said, the Neshama gets respect because it's an honorable thing. He says, no, its name is Kavod. The name of every Neshama is Kavod. And he says, what does it mean that the name of the Neshama is Kavod? It means that every Neshama, when you look at it, you see there's so much more. It's so much greater than what's in front of you. When you see it, you see dignity itself. You see greatness. And this is what he taught about Kavod HaAdam. about being an honorable person, respectable and dignified person. And he would teach us how to relate to Yetzer Haras this way too. He would say from the altar of Slobodka, don't just ask yourself if it's mutter or aser. Say you're beneath this. It's beneath my dignity to do this Avera. It's pasnished. He would have a way of making fun of the Yetzer Hara, where when you left, you felt like, I don't need all this. No one who was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro could sip a Coke from a can or drink from a bottle of water without a cup. You were living in a majestic kingdom where you felt so much more important than these things. He would say that people are playing with toys. Adults are playing with toys. Just more sophisticated toys. There were toys from before, and now they're playing with toys still. They're kinderlach. And you would feel the Yetzer Hara is for all this stupidity falling away from you. You don't want to be part of it. In his world, there was a greatness. He used to say the most amazing thing. He said there was nothing. There's nothing more sad than an alter leitz, than an old clown. He said they hang out in shuls in the back and they complain during mishaberachs. He said an alter leitz, an old clown, is somebody who grew up, became old, and never changed. And he says, when I see such people, and I've seen them, it makes me so sad. How can a person get so old and still be a clown? That was the way he was machanich, not an issue of mutter or aser, but we're above this. And he would be critical of even Talmidei Chachamim who didn't work on their midas. He would talk about somebody who got a bracha under a chuppah, and they announced him as the Rav of a certain community, and he corrected the person at the mic, and he said, V'hamechuyis, and also the surrounding areas I'm the Rav of. To Rav Moshe, this was the biggest, this is like somebody walking around without clothes in the street, somebody who's able to say such a thing, be so low and so undignified in their midas. And he would talk this way, and all the nisyonos would fall away. Sometimes I think about the nisyonos that we struggle with today, and I think about if you would see Rav Moshe Shapiro, if you would be in the shir, you wouldn't have to work on these things. You wouldn't have to work on wearing a towel or a robe. People who were exposed to such majesty would never to scream in the halls at each other, cackle from the window at people. It's simply not the way of a prince. And you felt it. You felt it. And he claimed he had no shaychus with Musar. And I felt bad because a friend of mine who had an inn with Rav Moshe, a very strong inn, he said to Rav Moshe said, what shir would you like to go into? So he says, do you have any shirim that involve Musar? He says, I have no shaychus with Musar. And my friend told me this, and he said he didn't go into a shir. And I didn't have I didn't want to hurt my friend, but he missed the boat. Rav Moshe meant the following thing. Rav Moshe meant, Musar, according to Rav Moshe, was telling people what to do. He never in his life would tell people what to do. But there was something called Chachma o Musar. Chachma is the wisdom behind Musar. And once you heard the Chachma, you didn't need the Musar anymore. Everything would fall away. But the most palatable part of this was the covet of Torah itself. Going into Rav Moshe's shir was like walking into Olam Haba. It was literally like walking into Olam Haba. He was a person that I can't fathom ever had an idle thought. I don't believe, I heard about Rav Chatzkel Abramsky Zatzal, that he, from a certain point, said he had no idle thoughts. It's hard for me, as a Talmud of Rav Moshe Shapiro, to imagine him having a thought that wasn't Torah. It was simply a romimus of a world that's so above, and everyone who was sitting in the shir was trying to just get a little bit inside, just try to touch it, not try to understand it totally, just try to touch what he was talking about. He would use the following terms in the shir. He would say, Ninase lahavin ksat, let's try and understand a little. Or he would say, Lefi ercheinu, according to where we're holding, let's try to get something in what we're talking about. He would say, Mevinimosi, do you understand me, Rabbi Osai? He would say, "Ani lo yachol harich yoter. I can't keep talking over here. Tein l'chacham v'yakam od. I gave you enough that a wise man will become wiser." Can you imagine the romamus of living in a shir like this, where he's telling you, "I'm only going to tell you one thing, and you have to build the shir on your own." And I remember the excitement where if 1 week he told us one yisod, and I would work on it during the week, and then the next week he would say what I said. Because he trained us how to see a shir develop, how the Divrei Torah would be parya v'ravya. And it was the most exciting thing if in the next week, after he said that I can't be marech, that you could chap a certain point, a little bit, of what he is saying and feel like you accomplished something being around such a great Malach Hashem. Rav Moshe was known for his being tough. And I will never know what pshat is in that being tough, but I would like to tell you what I think it is. Again, this is not a hesped. This is merely what I received from Rav Moshe Shapiro. He wasn't someone who gave compliments often. He was hard on his Talmidim, and sometimes people who were in the street encountered him. There was once a person who was by Rav Moshe for many years, and he kept getting shot down. And he got a good word from Rav Moshe once. He says, "Finally, a good word! All these years!" He's like, "Rebbe, you finally said something!" And Rav Moshe said to him the following thing. He brought a medrash. Chazal say in Breishis Rabbah, Yud Vav, Amar Reb Simon, Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev she'ein lo mazel berakia shemako sova omer lo gadol. Every blade of grass has a mazel or a malach. A malach that patches it and says, "Grow." Every blade of grass. And Rav Moshe told him, he says, a person grows with patches. And obviously this is not something that I've adopted or that I even can do on myself. I'm a fragile person. But Rav Moshe held that people grow from someone saying, "You could be big," patching them and say, "Grow up." And I was so excited to see that in the Hakdama to Afike Mayim, where Rav Moshe talks about his father, he says the following thing. He says, "My father was Ha'ish, Ha'malach, the Malach Asher Hikabi, that hit me va'amrli gadel, that hit me and said, 'Grow, grow, grow, grow.'" And it was all this majesty that Rav Moshe saw the neshama hanikras covered by his talmidim and everyone around. Says, "You can do better. You can be better." A lot of people missed this of Rav Moshe, and they thought it was chas v'shalom that he just was being tough. He was being mechanech, and he was teaching kavod ha-Torah. Someone once came to him at the Kaisel and said, "Can you please tell me the difference between Chachma, Bina, and Das?" He was probably Atachonein. He saw Rav Moshe Shapiro. Chachma, Bina, and Das, three parts of the intellect. Fair question. Rav Moshe Shapiro said to him, he says, "If you think that I could answer this question right here, right now, so quickly, you truly need Chachma, Bina, and Das." And it sounds like he was pushing the person away, and I want you to understand this, and we should understand this very well, because our generation is totally removed from real chinuch. Rav Moshe answered his question better than anybody ever would, because there's a sugya called chachma, and I heard hours of shiurim from Rav Moshe about chachma, and if he was alive today, I would hear thousands of more hours on it. There's a sugya called bina, and I've heard hours of shiurim from Rav Moshe about Bina. And the sugya of Das, he says, is too hard to even explain. And what he was telling this person is, "Young man, you're looking for what these things are. You should understand there's a whole world out there." He patched him and said, "Grow. There's so much here. Don't let anyone tell you that Chachma means knowledge and Bina means intuition or this or that. Don't listen to them. There's sugya shlemus. There's a covet to Torah. There's a romamus. There's so much here." He would say that the biggest yetzer hara is to think a sugya is finished. He said it's the Cherev HaMisapeches. There's a sword that goes around Gan Eden. And it takes people, and the way he described this, that this is his problems in life, is that you think you've clarified the sugya. The Yetzirah tries to tell you you finished the sugya and you closed the sugya. And really, you had just begun. There is a whole Torah, and the Yetzirah is to think that it ends, that it'll stop now. When I would ask him for a clarification, he would bite back and say, Amarti Yetzirah, I said that in the Shir. He wasn't trying to tell me that I should check my ears. He said, why didn't you hear that? Why didn't you hear it? Listen better. Not just listen with your ears. Pay attention. There was once a vart that I really thought, to be honest with you, Hashem plopped into my head that was way beyond my capabilities. A certain yisait. And I was sitting with an Adam Gadol Anmod, one of the Gadolei Hadar, and I was at a table with him. There was nothing I could do. I told him this vart, and he told me this is nifla. Made me feel great, you know. So then I go to Rav Moshe. After the shir, I'm expecting he's going to give me smicha. I tell him this insight. Wrong. Bye. Doesn't even look at me. But I got so much more from that than the no, you're making a mistake. There's something here that you didn't get. You're off. And he would teach that Torah comes with Har Sinai. When it says that the Torah was, the whole world was waiting for Vav Sivan, Yom HaShishi. It doesn't mean just for the Torah. It means for Har Sinai. Har Sinai was a place where we got the Torah not just from Simcha, but from fear. And there was also boundaries. There was a fence. And if you went over the fence, you were finished. Rav Moshe taught us that if you try to learn the Torah without boundaries, without fences, then everything will be destroyed. The shir, the Mishle shir, was fenced in. If someone wandered into our shir, Rav Moshe would stop speaking. I would train myself, this is a Kelmer attitude, I never looked who walked in, I didn't want to embarrass anybody. Rav Moshe would just sit there like this. And there would be, until this person's like, whoo. This happened often. And it seems so strange, you know. But Rav Moshe said, this is a closed shir. I've decided who comes to this shir. There are things I say here. He had a shir for the Rabbim on Thursday nights. But this is a shir with a fence around it. I don't want anyone hearing this who doesn't deserve to hear this. This was the mechitza. The mechitza. And if you crossed it, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Maimed Har Sinai. And this is something we learned as Talmidim. There was once somebody in the Thursday shir, which is open to the public, who also jumped the fence. Somebody got up there. He was a nice boy from a modern yeshiva who had come with a Rebbe just to see Rav Moshe Shapiro. And he flashed a picture during the shir. And this is a shir with hundreds of people. And I want to explain to you something. When you have a Rebbe, you're never maharher acharav. You never look and say, did he do something wrong? You figure out why you're crooked. That's what you do when you have a Rebbe. Why am I crooked? And this mice is an example. Rav Moshe saw that there was a flash. He says, I'm not continuing the shir. This is the most famous shir that he gives. I'm not continuing the shir until the person who took this picture leaves. And nobody left. He says, it's either him or me. This is what Rav Moshe said. And eventually the guy left, and afterwards he worked it out. He worked it out with Rav Moshe, and he asked him for mechila. But what's going on over here? Whatever happened to Kavod HaBrias? Whatever happened? Rav Moshe held that Klal Yisrael doesn't know what Torah is, what Maimed Har Sinai is. And nothing, nothing supersedes an understanding that Torah's Bereses Vizeya. This is not a tourist site. This is Maimed Har Sinai. And anyone who reduces this shir from Maimed Har Sinai is killing everyone in the crowd and killing me. And you only understand that when you're a Talmud. If you're not a Talmud, you go, I would have done something else. I would have, you know, done one of these tzidkus things, ignored it. What? By him, he wanted to teach There's nothing without Maimed Har Sinai. You could be a really nice boy, but buddy, you don't cross the fence. Klal Yisrael was told that if they cross the fence, they die, because they destroyed the experience of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody once saw Rav Moshe Shapira on a bus. And he asked him a question, and Rav Moshe said to him, he goes, just because you see me on a bus doesn't mean you have to ask me a question. What was he saying? What he was saying is, my dear friend, have you thought about your questions? Do you carry questions? Have you been bothered by things for years? Rav Moshe loved articulate questions. At the Kaisel, I would always ask him questions. But it was nicker that I was bothered by something and I came to ask. Not that I wanted to tell my friends that I had a conversation with Rav Moshe Shapiro. You could do that with other Gedolim. But he wanted to teach you what Torah was. He wanted to teach you what Kavod HaTorah is. And that was what he, for me, at least, that's what I understood he was doing. There was a group of Bachram from our yeshiva that I convinced to go hear Rav Moshe, and I said, I will hear a recording of that shir, and I will explain to you the shir. So they went on their journey. They don't know this story. They're going to be surprised about this a little bit. And it turned out to be the most amazing shir. I think I gave 5 shmuzin without exaggeration based on the yesodos from that shir. It was a new idea I had never heard, and it was that Rav Moshe had just started feeling better, and it was clear that he was talking about simcha on a very high level. And there were many, many shmuzin that were based on this vat. But the guys told me, one of them said he went to give Rav Moshe a shkoyach. And he said, Rav Moshe pinched my cheek and said something to me. Okay. I'm very happy with this pinch, and you know. So I'm listening to this shir, and the recorder was still going, Rav Osai. And I nearly fell off my seat from laughter. I hear a boy going over to Moshe Shapiro and saying, shkoyach. And Rav Moshe says back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like live here. He says, for what? That you slept for an hour? And this boy, I guarantee you, did not sleep for an hour. He was totally awake. But Rav Moshe was saying, you're giving me a shkoyach. Did you work on the shir? Do you understand what I did here, Bichlal? Are you just using manners that you got from America, or did you come to learn Torah? That was Rav Moshe. And that's how people got hit and became great. And when he gave you the feeling of positivity, it was a rush like you could never experience. I remember 3 weeks, he was speaking about a Ramban. And I was waiting for him to get to the last line of this Ramban that I never understood. Week 1, didn't get to it. Week 2, didn't get to it. Week 3, didn't get to it. And that was it. He was done. He was closing up shop. I went over to him. I said, Rebbe, you didn't explain the last part line of the Ramban. He grunted at me, like moving away. I didn't give up this time. I was waiting for this line. So I said, what's going to be? He says, we'll discuss it. I'm like, when are we going to discuss it? He's getting into his car. I'm like, at the coastal? He goes, fine, at the coastal. All right. Anyway, Lemaisa, I missed going to the coastal on Erev Shabbos. I wasn't able to go. And I thought it was over. After the shir, Rav Moshe's walking out. And he turns to me and he says, you're Shaila from last week. And he takes my hand. And he starts walking with me, holding my hand for way too long. I was really, really nervous. He says, I'm going to tell you the answer to your question, but I'm going to tell it to you very quickly, and you either get it or you don't. At this point, my brain shut off. I'm like, when's he going to get off my hand? I'm so scared. I want to go home. He told me, and then I spoke it over with my Rebbeim. That was the most electrifying experience. That was a highlight in my life. To understand that there was something real here that I connected with. One time I was discussing with him outside the shir what the 10 levels in the Mesilas Yesharim were connected, different higher levels of existence. And I told him a certain theory that I had about Nikias. And all of a sudden he goes, Zehu, Zehu! I'm like, that's it! I'm like, wow. I was skipping in the streets. Rav Moshe got excited that, and because I got something. I got something. When there was chidushim from the shmooze, and I didn't know if I could say these chidushim. It was on Tuesday, the shir that I would go to, and Wednesday's the shir that was the shir. The Rosh Yeshiva was gave me a bracha to leave yeshiva on Tuesdays, even though I wasn't able to be at mincha. And the Rosh Yeshiva gave me a bracha every week to go to this shir. And I would say over, I wouldn't tell him my own chiddush. No way. I would ask him the question that I had a chiddush on and see if he answered like me. And if he did, I knew it would be true. And this time he took me to task. He goes, so what do you know about this? And I quoted a pasuk, and I'm like, oh. And then I came back to yeshiva to know it was a davar amiti. It was a true idea. And the feeling of really being mechaven to a davar amiti in Torah, not just saying a vart, but saying something that someone like this feels is real, that comes from the living in this kingdom of greatness in Torah. And when it came to areas of life, there was no toughness whatsoever. I had a personal issue that I needed to go to Rav Moshe. I learned with Rav Zulin Schwarzman Shlita, and next door is Rav Moshe's office. And I went into Rav Moshe, and it was a surreal experience going into his office while he was learning Torah. And I said, there's someone who's close to me who's getting a bedika checked in a hospital. And Rav Moshe went like this. He didn't even know the person. He was cringing. He asked me the name of the person. And then as I'm walking out, he goes, tell that person that nothing's wrong. He's going to be totally fine. Fine. I told the person, kachave. And this person is very machbid on Akar Satov. And he insisted that I go back to Rav Moshe. I'm like, please, I went once. I had no choice. This person is very dear to me. And he asked me to go back. And that was it. And I went before. I couldn't go after this year because I had to get back to yeshiva. And I knew it wasn't Derech Eretz to go before this year. And I knew I was going to get slammed. But I just wanted to get it over with and just tell him. And I knew I was going to get clobbered beginning of this year. You're trying to talk to me as I'm coming. So I went over to him. It was 2 weeks after I had gone to him the first time. And I said to him, this person is well. The person that you said won't be a problem. Kachavi is a... And he said, thank you so much for telling me. And he said over the name of the person, he's like, I so appreciate... I'm like, is this my Rebbe? Like, what's going on? I'm in front of, before the shir. And I chavt, when he's being mechanich his talmidim, fine. But when it's imoy anoichi bitzara, when it's being with a yid for their pain, that's not time to be mechanich them. That's a time to be part of both their pain and the excitement of the refuah. When there were bachrim in our yeshiva who had yeyish in certain areas, they were giving up hope on themselves. I went over to Rav Moshe and I knew if I told him that I'm a mashkiach, he's going to bite at me. Why? Because maybe he'll think I'm showing off, which I understand. So, but I knew that I had to tell him I'm a mashkiach in order to ask my question. So here I went. You know, you'd think I should tell him after that I'm what I do for... No, why? Why should I tell him? So I'm like, I'm a mashkiach. No, no! Okay, now that we got over that, I'm like, there's Bachrim who are miyayish from certain things they've done. And he's like, whoa. Now it became a sugya of noisei ba'olim chaveiro. And he needed a milas ha-taira of the brother of the Gaon to said, I want you to show the Talmidim that learning Torah takes care of everything. They have nothing to worry about no matter what they've done. And they didn't have a milas ha-taira. And this person who I always saw valuing his time sat there patiently until someone would find him a milas ha-taira with all the time in the world. Why? To help a yid. To help somebody. There's still going to be a lot of Torah from Rav Moshe Shapiro. There are hundreds of recordings. And I started Mishlei again. I came in within 200 of the shir. I have 200 backlog. And even the shirim I've heard, I now understand better with 5 years of... 5 years more development, you understand it more. There'll be Torah of Rav Moshe, but this Maimid Har Sinai, this Kavod HaTorah can't be replaced. And we should all do a Cheshbon HaNefesh. We should ask if we're living lefi kvodenu. Haneshama nikris kavod. The name of the neshama is kavod. If we're dignified people, this is what he taught, this is what he lived by. Dei nishmasa nitzra b'tzarecha.